皆様、本日はシルヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信、本日機内ではゴジラを用意しております。またパールハーバー。 And now, here's Phil.
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Boy, we got our trends from last month. You know, we had a real good summer book, actually. Not a bad one, but the trend? Ooh. Wow. And of course, I have to suffer Carell running around here going, our trends were up, but I don't know, I'm just depressed. Anyway, Tony was telling me that, are you having problems with your roommates? God, do I? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. But I remember having roommates, and I got to tell you, it's been a long time. When's the last time I had a roommate? I had a roommate. I've been married 3 years. 2.5 years. God, I haven't had a roommate. Do women living with a woman count? That doesn't count as a roommate. That's being married. It's like a lower rung of marriage. Having a roommate is a guy that you're living with. Got to be my 20s. It's got to be my 20s, my late 20s, the last time I had a roommate. And I tell you, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I couldn't get out of that living arrangement fast enough. There are guys that still live with guys when they're single. They're still living with guys like into their 40s. I'm not talking about gay. I'm talking about straight. But they're living with other guys, hanging around the racquetball club, living that life, whatever. They're drinking, sucking rum on the weekends and going golfing and hanging with their roommates, you know, like 45. Or you see the guy that you knew when you were in your 20s who is like 27 and his roommate's 48 or 50. So, I had a roommate. When I first started out in radio, I was living with three other guys because I was working in construction work. I used to be a cement finisher and a framing carpenter and a rod buster and a laborer and all that crap. I say crap because I wasn't any good at it. It's a good, honest living, okay? But manual labor. You know that my wife the other day said to me, would you please lift up this sofa to get the thing? I said, I don't do that. I don't do any manual labor anymore. The year that I spent working in construction work was that's all. You know, I don't think to do, would you please let, no, I can't do that. I have such an aversion to manual labor, it's not even believable. Can you hang this picture? No, I will not hang the picture. I don't do that. I don't do that. Don't you like people who say that? No, I don't do that. It just was such an experience for me in terms of threw my back out, a lot of crap, a lot of bad stuff. I mean, I had Demerol shots in my hips. I was taking pain. Bad thing happened to me one day. I was in Orlando, stinking of Florida. So I'm living with these guys, and finally I get into radio. I'm living with three friends of mine. And really weird setup. Because I'm working all night, and these clowns are getting up in the morning to go to work in the morning. And they're still working construction. And by the way, I had a concrete foreman. This guy taught me how to finish cement. You don't have to know anything about construction, but basically when you're finishing cement, you hold a trowel. It's like a cement trowel. And this guy had a stutter. His name was Gary. And, you know, you got to be crapping me, Phil. You're going to be a DJ? Because I quit, and I said, I'm going into radio. I got a job as a disc jockey at one of the stations in town. I'm going from finishing cement to being a disc jockey. He says, you got to be crapping me. So anyway, when Gary was teaching me how to finish cement, and I'm out there and on these pads, and you're running the trowel back and forth over the cement, he says, give me that thing, Phil. You got to grip that thing, just like you're beating your meat. Oh, okay, Gary. I got it, man, now. Thank you for that.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, man, I got it. Gary. So this dude, anyway, I'm living with these guys, and they're getting up in the morning, and I'm coming home 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting off the air at 6. I'm home by 6:30, whatever. So at 6:30 in the morning, I'm throwing the beers down. I'm talking about Monday morning, Tuesday. Doesn't make any difference. I get off the air. I go home. I start powering down those big, tall Budweisers, and these guys are getting ready to go to work, and I'm drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning while these guys are on their way out to work. And I get plowed, and then I would go in and sleep, and these cats come home from work. And the thing with roommates for me, the essential point is the noise. It doesn't make any difference if they're really trying to. I can't take all of the noise. I can't take some guy jacking the stereo on, when I'm trying to get some sleep. And the same thing goes with, the other way around. I mean, I'm sure I'm probably making noise when those guys are trying to crash. I'm getting ready to go to work, and these guys are all snuggled into bed, and I've got the stereo cranked up. That's the thing that I didn't like about having a lousy roommate. One night I'm listening to these guys. I don't know what the problem was, but somebody's watching a TV show going, "Oh, you got to see the show. The other guy's trying to sleep. I'm hearing this. You got to see the show." "Will you shut up, man? I'm trying to sleep." No, you got to see the show. "I'm trying to sleep." I'm listening. I said, "Will you shut up and let the guy sleep? It's like living in a nut house." Believe me, it's better you go broke, man, and live alone. It's better that you just go ahead and, eat. Let me tell you how to live for a month. Tortillas and refried beans. You'll live for months, years on tortillas and refried beans. Cost you top ramen, refried beans, and tortillas. Cost you what, $10 a week? Tops. It's a $40 a month grocery bill. You can live on that for months, years if you need to, and you'll save the money so you can just live alone and not have to deal with these guys. Having a roommate and this whole thing of let's get a big house and we'll all room together, forget it. I knew some friends of mine, they all rented a big house. They're going to all room together. They wanted me to go in with them. And I said, I can't afford it or something. It was a big house. It cost, in those days, a lot of money. And it was a big, 5-6-bedroom house. They burned it to the ground within 30 days. They burned it to the ground. They rented this house. It's their first year in college. All these guys, not a frat house, just a place where these guys were rooming. And it became a party house. They had two good parties in this house. They had two good parties in this house before they burned it to the ground. One fine Saturday night, and it was another party. They had two good parties. They actually had 2.5 parties. Two good parties, and the half of the party that they had was the night they burned it to the ground. So one half of the party was going good. Then somebody did something. I don't know. I didn't even ask. I don't know what it was. I know it didn't have anything to do with a drop match. It didn't even have anything to do with somebody. Nothing. It's just something happened. Something exploded, but the whole thing, nobody was hurt. Everybody was fine. But the house burned straight to the ground, down to the foundation. And, it's the next day you show up and go, what happened? I don't know. Something happened. The guys are out there with their shirts off. Get out of here. Who needs a life? You listen to the Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. Bud Dickman is going to be in just a moment. Bud has been over to the Real World audition, right? So we're going to talk to him about how successful he was with that. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I got these homeopathic pills. Thanks to everybody who's helping me with my, quit smoking regimen. I've been getting cups of water. I'm trying to flush all the poison, all the rotting, rotten, stank-inducing, fetid, corrosive toxins out of my system. And I'll tell you, as I said, 33 years I smoked those cigarettes, and I think I was probably at about 2 packs a day. Pack and a half, man. It's been since Saturday. Got off them on Friday night. Saturday morning, 2 a.m. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be 4 days coming up here at 2 o'clock Monday morning or Wednesday morning. And so I'm out doing all the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I'm trying to sweat it out. And listen to this. I'm taking these things now every 5 seconds, these pills. And as I said to you, it's some homeopathic thing. My wife went and got all this detoxifying tea. And she got me some special vitamins. And I got these, like I said, smoke withdrawal pills, which have some kind of tobacco resin in them. And what else have we got? Drinking water like I'm going out of my freaking mind. And you talk about eat. And this is the thing that I want to bring up. There is a very significant and very obvious link between cigarettes and food. You give up one and you start the other, okay? It's either one or the other. And you should see me, man, walking around that kitchen. Okay, what else is there to eat? And I catch myself going, you fat pig. You pig. You better get out and walk this fat off tomorrow, man, because you've been shoveling it down since you got home. When I got home last night, what did I eat? I ate a big bowl of spaghetti, and then I ate a bunch of... Oh, you know what I did? I took a box of Honey graham crackers over to the computer with me, and I started shoveling those down. And when I was done with that, then I went back and I got a big jar of peanuts that we had, and I started eating the peanuts. Then I went into the refrigerator and said, oh, well, I better not drink any milk. I don't want to drink milk. That's fattening. So I didn't drink any milk, so I drank some soy milk or something that we had. Then I went back, worked on the... excuse me. Worked on a computer some more, and of course, I'm not sitting there more than 5 minutes. I'm getting hungry again. So I get up and I go, and I made myself a ham sandwich. But I got this craving for sweet, right? Now, I got this problem. Chocolate, I must be allergic to, because I get incredible headaches if I eat too much chocolate. And I love chocolate. I mean, I will eat Milky Ways. During Halloween, I was in a bad way because the kids came back with all the Halloween crap. Milky Way, Snickers, they had Three Musketeers, they had the Reese's Pieces, they had all that good stuff going on. And I was eating it all, man. They were laying all those Almond Joys on me, the stuff that they don't want to eat, the Almond Joys and the Mounds. I was eating it all, and I got these raging, weird headaches, these strange sensations of nausea and vibration in my head. I mean, you know, it's not just a normal allergy, man. It's like I got shot up with some kind of Thorazine or something. It's just weird. So I stay away from that. But when you quit smoking, you have a craving for sweets. So what was going to satiate my need for sweets? After eating the ham sandwich, after eating the peanuts, after eating the peanut oil, after eating the bowl of spaghetti, after eating the honey graham crackers, now I go back to the cabinet for one more visit, and I get a bowl of turkey chili. I open up a can of chili, man, and I put a thing of Fritos in the bottom of the bowl, and I dump the chili on top of it, then I microwave it. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I did that. Did you do that? God, I love that. I love putting the... And here I am, blimping out again. The last time I quit smoking, which was back in 97, I put on 40 pounds. Now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get out and exercise the next day. So at least I'm trying to work the fat off. Each day I got to go out and I got to work the fat off of my rear end that I've been packing on the night before when I get home from work. Because I get home about, you know, whenever the hell it is, 10:30, quarter to 11 at night. Because we're 3 hours behind here on the West Coast, those you guys listening on the East Coast. I get home, everybody's asleep. There's only two things for me to do: watch television and eat. And I do both. So now we're going to check this out. Now, I'm very, very intent on leaving these stinking weeds behind. I can tell you this. I have never, as I mentioned this on the show last night, I have never been more committed to giving up cigarettes than after I saw that movie, The Insider, on Saturday. That flick about the cigarette industry, and I know that it was all out there in the open back in 95, 96, because CBS didn't air the interview, and it was all in the news. But for some reason, it was under or over my radar. But after seeing that movie on Saturday, and looking at that, and hearing about the impact boosting, and the nicotine manipulation, and the uses of reconstituted tobacco, and all of the stuff that they did to specifically keep Phil Henry smoking cigarettes, man, I decided then, I you can give me cancer, you can give me a hole in my throat, but you will not make a sucker out of me. That I won't stand for. So I gave up the cigarettes. And at two packs a day, 33 years, you don't believe it's a physical addiction? Jim, you got another thing coming. I don't know what planet you're living on. And that cat, Bob Dole, I forget it. I don't want to single that guy out. Anybody stepping fetching for the tobacco business and laying it out there about how it ain't addictive. And you know what? I don't know what Bob Dole was smoking. It might have been cigarettes, might have been weed. I don't know what he was doing. He was smoking the inside of somebody's old coat. I don't know what he was smoking. Whatever it wasn't nicotine, because I'll tell you right now, it's an addictive drug. And I'm sitting here chewing on these smoke withdrawal tablets. I'm gnawing on the side of the table. I just about bit Loxie's head off when I walked in here looking for my chair earlier. I'm in a bad way right now. I'm gonna start crying in a minute. I ain't kidding you. I feel bad. I feel terrible. I'm chewing on these stupid things, man. I do. What, do you got any codeine or anything?
These things are. Oh, God.
Nicotine's not addictive. Dole wasn't a cigarette smoker. He couldn't have been a cigarette smoker. If he was, he wasn't smoking anywhere near what I was smoking. I was putting away 20, you know, how many in a pack? 40 cigarettes a day. Now, that ain't as much as some, but it's a hell of a lot more than others. And I'll tell you, just about, it's killing me right now. Come on in here, bud.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, I was outside listening to what you're saying about smoking and everything. I hope I, whatever I do, I've got to help you out.
I appreciate it, and thank you for bringing the water.
No, that's all right. I was listening to you were talking about roommates, too.
Yeah, you know what? I was the thing about being a roommate, though, the point that I was trying to make is that it's loud, you know?
Well, I have a lot of roommates, but it doesn't wake me up.
Are you a sound sleeper?
Yeah.
How do you generally wake up?
I wake myself up.
But, I mean, do people wake you up?
No.
People don't ever wake you up, or do you have to set an alarm?
No, alarm clock can't wake me up.
An alarm clock can't wake you up?
No. No.
How do you wake up? So can somebody come and kick you?
No, I don't wake up.
What are you talking about, you don't wake up?
I don't wake up. I have to wake up myself, because nobody can wake me up.
If I came over to your house to wake you up, you and I had to go someplace.
You wouldn't be able to. I'd have to wake myself up.
No, I'm talking about, what if I came into your room and I started kicking you?
No, it wouldn't do it.
I'm talking about kicking you, okay?
It wouldn't wake me up. The only way is my biological clock would have to wake me up. Because sometimes alarm clock can't even do it.
No, do you hear what I'm saying? If I came over to your house and I started to kick you in the head to wake you up.
It wouldn't do it.
What do you mean it wouldn't do it?
I don't wake up. I only wake myself up.
What if I took you and threw you into the street? Just picked you up and threw you in the street?
I'd still be asleep.
Get out of here, man.
I swear to God that you can't wake me up unless I wake myself up.
All right, I got a break. You going to tell me about this real world thing?
Yeah, I went on the real world audition today.
All right, we'll talk about that. Phil Henry Show. What are you talking about, man?
Swear to God.
Per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia. And now, here is Phil.
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I want to talk to Bud Dickman here in a minute because he went to the Real World audition, but Harvey Wireman is on the line. He's an attorney, and specifically my attorney from San Marino. Hi, Harvey. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I heard you gave up cigarettes. I wanted to call in and give you
encourage me?
Yeah, I wanted to give you some encouragement and tell you to stick it in there and see what happens, you know.
Thank you.
You know, because I smoked for a lot of years. I smoked up until about 6 years ago.
Now you're 78?
I'm 78. I smoked till I was 72. And that was the most fun I've ever had in my life. But I had to give it up because I was afraid that, you know, I was going to get cancer or something like that.
Let me ask you something. You're 78. You smoked from what age?
I started smoking when I was 6.
And when you were 6?
Yeah.
You smoked from the time you were 6 until...
Let me explain life to you a little bit here, Phil, because a lot of times you know...
No, I understand that. I mean, I'm just asking you...
Let me explain it to you, okay? So that you can understand where I'm coming from, all right? Because a lot of this has to do with the time and the place, all right? Now, you understand that I grew up in the Depression, I was, first of all, I was born in the 20s, but I grew up in the Depression, right? And the last thing we were worried about is whether or not, you know, you're going to get cancer. Who gave a good sweet Christ whether you're going to get cancer? You have to get something to eat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you juggled it between cancer and having something to eat, and I chose something to eat. I didn't give a good sweet Jesus.
So all right, so you started smoking when you were six?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you had a lot of pressure. You know, you're 6 years. I didn't come from a rich family. I came from a family. Are you aware of the Depression, aren't you?
Yes, I'm aware of the Depression. I'm very surprised that you started smoking when you were six, that's all.
Because of the times, Phil, there was a lot of pressure on young people to help support families. And I had to go off and help pay the bills with the rest of my brothers and sisters.
Well, what has that got to do with you smoking?
Because you start to get, you know, you need the relaxation. You need the anxiety control. I had a lot of anxiety, and I needed to relax at the end of the day.
So you're coming home at the age of six and lighting up?
Yeah, because I was out there trying to support my family, and that's the way the Depression was. So I started smoking when I was six, and I gave it up when I was 72.
So you smoked 64 years.
That's right.
Well, why in hell would you quit?
I was afraid of getting cancer.
Well, who cares, man? By the time you're 72 years of age, you've been smoking for 64 years. What difference does it make?
Well, you start worrying about your health, you know. And I
were you having health problems?
No, I wasn't.
Were you coughing or anything like that? I mean, you were giving up cigarettes at the age of 72. You started smoking when you were six. And for 64 solid years, you were doing what? How much were you smoking?
I'm sorry?
How much were you smoking?
Well, Christ, I started out smoking probably when I was a kid.
You know, when you were six, how much were you smoking?
Oh, I was probably smoking a pack a day. And
good God!
What?
What are you telling me, man? You smoked a pack a day?
I started out on a pack a day. I don't know if it was a pack, a half a pack a day, about a pack a day. And then I upped it when I got to be a teenager. I went to two packs, and I was two packs solid for the rest of my life, you know, until I quit.
So you were smoking a pack a day when you were eight?
Yeah. Well, no, when I started when I was six.
No, but I mean, if you said that you went up to two packs a day when you became a teenager, so at the age of six, seven, eight, and nine, you're smoking two full packs a day.
No, I was smoking a pack a day.
I'm sorry, a pack a day.
That's correct, yeah. But you had a lot of pressure, you know, and a cigarette would relax you, and I could kick back and with a cocktail or whatever. And
what you're telling me you had a cocktail when you were six?
I'm saying that you needed to, in the Depression, Phil.
Are you telling me you were drinking when you were six?
Are you going to listen to me?
No, I just want to know. You were having a cigarette and a cocktail at the age of six?
Will you listen to me, for Christ's sake? I'm telling you that during the Depression, there was a lot of pressure on families.
I understand that you had to help support your family. I recognize that. Are you going to try and tell me that at the age of six, at the end of a long day, what were you doing in those days?
I was doing a lot of stuff. I was shoveling coal. I was delivering papers. I was helping make shoes. I was delivering groceries for my uncle. I was doing a lot of stuff.
And you're telling me that at the end of the day, you were having a drink and a cigarette?
You had an awful lot of pressure, yeah. So I'd have a cocktail. And
what were you drinking at six?
You could have a gimlet.
Get out of here, man!
You take my phone call.
Nobody would you tell me you had a gimlet when you were six. You're 6 years old. You get done shoveling coal.
I was helping out doing a lot of jobs, Phil. I was shoveling coal. I was delivering newspapers. My uncle needed help with keeping the books. So a lot of times I would do some of the balance work. I did some payroll for him.
All right, so you're doing payroll, you're smoking cigarettes, and you're having a gimlet at the end of a long day of work, and you're seven.
What is your problem?
I ain't got a problem, pal. You know, you're coming on here.
Now, what is your problem?
You're coming on here and telling me you're having yourself a gimlet of smoke, and you're helping your uncle do the payroll when you're six.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
And you're not exaggerating.
No, I am not. What is your problem that you don't know a goddamn thing about how this country was back when we didn't have all of the things that you've got today? Back when we didn't have all of the Oh, God damn it.
You need some water?
Yeah, I need some water. Back when we didn't have all of the things that you've got today.
I'm just trying to get this clear, Bandit. You're coming on my show, and you're saying to me when you were six, and it was during the Depression, that you were smoking cigarettes, drinking gimlets, and helping your uncle do the payroll.
How many times do you want me to say?
Okay, I believe you. I just wanted to hear you.
And you think I'm a liar?
No, sir, I do not think you're a liar. I think you had a very, very unusual life, even for the Depression, okay? Anaheim, you're on
the Depression.
Anaheim,
too. He's full of crap, that guy.
Anaheim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, listen, I'm 89 years old. I started to smoke when I was 16, and I'm still smoking. And
why don't you turn your radio down?
What?
Why don't you turn your radio
down?
Why
don't you mind your business? I'm
because
talking to Phil.
Nobody can hear what the hell it is you're saying.
Well, if you'd stop raving, maybe you'd hear what I'm saying.
I need for you to turn your radio down, ma'am, okay? Thank you very much.
Jesus, how many times do you tell these people when they call your show to turn their radio down?
Every time.
You tell them every time?
Yeah.
And yet there's some clown who doesn't turn their radio down.
Sometimes people forget.
Jesus.
Who is he? Know-it-all?
When I grew up I'm a smart ass.
Yeah, that's what you sound like.
I said to the host of the show, every time somebody calls the show, he tells them to turn the radio down, and there you are with your radio turned
up. What? You're not the boss. You're not running the show.
Well, I hear the way these talk show hosts always say, turn the radio down. Why the hell don't people
Why don't you mind your business and get off completely? I'm talking to Phil, not you.
I'm calling up Phil to talk about the whole cigarette deal.
I smoke, and I'm still smoking, and I'm 89 years old. I started to smoke at 16.
You're crazy. You're going to get lung cancer, for Christ's sake.
I go to the doctor, my dear, and he examined my lungs every month that I go.
He examined your what?
He examines my lungs and sees.
Yeah, he examines your, and I just heard you clear your throat.
What?
I heard you go,
So what? Don't you ever clear your throat? I think you're some kind of
I'll tell you what I think. I think that you're playing with fire when you smoke those cigarettes.
Well, I don't know what you're playing with, but you don't sound like a nut to me.
I'm a nut because I quit smoking. Is that it? That makes me a nut.
I don't care if you quit smoking. That's up to if that's what you want to do.
But you were saying, Harvey, you were saying in the Depression.
I was in the Depression, too.
I was in the Depression, too. And I know how the Depression was. So I was shoveling coal.
When we were in Depression, we all smoked.
Yeah, I smoked.
You're lying.
Yeah, but he says,
I was living in the Depression.
How old were you when you started smoking?
16 years old.
I was 6 years old when I started smoking.
Oh, well, then you're some kind of a nut,
old. I was shoveling coal. I was delivering papers. I was helping my uncle with groceries. We were doing it all.
At 6 years old, where were your parents that they allowed that?
My parents were destitute. Everybody in our family had to try that. I was shining shoes when I was 8, and I was smoking a pack a day.
I don't believe you.
Oh, you don't? Then you didn't live through the Depression that I lived in, my dear.
I went all through the Depression.
What did you do? You sit on your ass while somebody else did all the tough work? Huh?
I went all through the Depression. Don't be telling me what I went through.
I'll tell you that a good cigarette is going to keep a 7-year-old kid working pretty hard. And then at the end of the day, I'd have a cocktail.
That's too young to be smoking at 7 years old, and I don't believe you. I think you're full of crap.
Why do you think... Did you live during the Depression? You know how hard it was for kids, right?
Of course I lived through the Depression.
Then you know how tough it was for kids. And it was very cold. And a good cigarette would keep you warm on a cold day. And
you're telling me that when you were 7, you'd light up a cigarette to stay warm?
I'm full of crap. I had a hip flask filled full of brandy that I would sip standing on the...
At that age?
At the age of 8, yes.
Where was your parents that they saw that you were drinking brandy?
My father was shoveling coal down for the A&P. My uncle was running groceries.
I know the A&P well.
Yeah, and I was helping him out. That's what I was doing.
Yes.
So
just mentioned brandy. Brandy in those days was expensive. I don't know how you could get that.
I had a hip flask because the old Italian down the street used to have big kegs of this stuff, and he'd let me fill it up.
So at 8 years old, you're sipping brandy and smoking cigarettes, standing on a street corner, helping your uncle do his payroll.
I helped him do payroll, yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, Well, who cares what you believe? You're still smoking at the age.
Of course, I'm still smoking. I'm smoking right now.
What kind of brand do you smoke?
What would you give to know?
You're the one that lets the doctor play with your chest.
No, doctor. I didn't say he plays with my chest.
Bull crap.
You're getting smart.
Bull crap.
Smart
ass. Come on.
Now.
What bull crap? What are you smoking? What kind? Straight, Pall Mall straight, I'll bet.
No, Chesterfield.
Holy Christ.
So what?
Oh, God. Oh.
What's so terrible about that?
It's got no filter on it, right?
Yes, there's filter on it.
It's a filter? What do you think of that, Phil?
Well, I just gave up the cigarettes on Saturday. I'm the wrong guy to talk to.
Bet you'd like one of those, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
You're goddamn right it sounds pretty good, doesn't it, huh? Me, I gave them up. I don't need them anymore.
Well, that's
you
your
see,
business.
Let me tell you something about
that's your business. If people want to give it up, that's their business.
See,
but I still want to smoke.
Cigarettes are for weak-minded people. That's my theory.
All of a sudden, because you gave it up, the other people are weak-minded now.
Yeah, that's my theory.
You're Mr. Smartass. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there can only be a few of us that have strong minds, and the rest of you are too weak to give it up.
Well, maybe she doesn't want to give it up.
All of a sudden now, because you gave it up, everybody should give it up.
Yeah, everybody should.
Come on.
I don't know whether you heard or not, but it causes lung cancer. They just come out with that.
My dear, I go to the doctor every month, and he examines my heart and lungs and tells me I'm okay.
How come you hesitate every time you say he examines my, and then there's a hesitation?
He examines my heart and lungs. That's not, no hesitation.
You hesitated.
You just want to put
your
mouth. Come on.
He examines my heart and lungs. That's the way it's.
Okay, fine. Hold on. Jesus.
What are you going to do me?
Hold on, bud. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Harvey Wireman is with us. Lady in Anaheim is on the line. Yes, ma'am. Bud, I wanted to find out from you, did you go to the Real World thing?
Yeah, I went to the Real World audition today. And that was a lot of fun because I wanted to be on a Real World.
And people that don't know what Real World is, it's on MTV. And what do?
Well, they have different people live in a house and they follow how their lives go. And they had one guy on there who used to wipe boogers on a ceiling. Then they had another guy who had to go into alcohol rehab. And
what do you mean they had a guy on there that wiped boogers on the ceiling?
They had a guy on there that did it.
What is this? TV show, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, what the Christ is that?
Well, that's what the guy did. And then they had another guy on there who never took his cowboy hat off. Just a lot of different people on there.
So what? When you go to the audition for this thing, what do you have to do? Do you got to bring headshots?
Yeah, they said to bring pictures. They said to bring some pictures of yourself. So I had to bring some headshots over. And they said to, you know, they interview you and find out if you'd be, you know, good for their show or whatever, and they talk to you.
What questions do they ask you?
Well, they ask me, like, where am I from, you know, what stuff that I like, and do I like people, and do I mind if I'm going to live with other people, and...
Who's this retard?
What kind of crap is that?
This is Bud, okay?
What did you say, ma'am?
Who's that talking?
My name's Bud Dickman.
Yeah, I don't know who this retard is.
Well, my name's Bud Dickman. I'm just talking about when
about
I went
what?
About going over to an audition that I did today for Real World.
So you brought over some pictures, right?
Yeah, they said to bring some headshots. And can I show them to you?
Yeah, let me see them. Why are you showing me why are you showing me pornography?
Well, what?
They said to bring some headshots.
They don't mean those kind of headshots. They mean pictures of you. Who's the chick?
They said bring a headshot.
Don't be smart.
That kind of headshot, you jackball.
You got it, lot I knew. I say you are my friend.
What the Christ?
When I was down, you just stood there grinning.
They want me to bring a headshot.
Yeah, of your head.
You got it, lot I knew. To say you got a helping hand. Just want to be on the side. let you down. You know it's not like that. If you're so hurt, why then don't you show it? You say you've lost your faith, but that's not where it's at. Satisfied with your position and your place.